You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tate Thompson near
does
circle.
Does that just come to you?
No, it doesn't really. Here's a quick shot, scores. That comes right in front of the net. And that is a big goal for Zach Benson. It's his first of the year. This one's going to count. And the Sabres are up 3-2 with yet another power play goal.
A gutsy effort. That's what Lindy Ruff called it last night in Vancouver. Sabres after dark it was. I am Marty Baron here. Brian Duff is off today. But we have a busy, busy show. A special guest will be in about 5 or 6 minutes, about a 20-minute interview that I taped earlier this week, but you won't want to miss this. It goes in with the 20-year reunion that is going to happen in January, so don't miss the special guest coming up here on the show. And Shayna Goldman will also be at the bottom of the hour. Lots to talk about with Shayna. There was a trade in the NHL this morning. The Edmonton Oilers acquired Tristan Jarry, goaltender from the Pittsburgh Penguins, and sent Stuart Skinner over to Pittsburgh. A lot to talk about, and we'll also talk about the Buffalo Sabres. But because we have about 5 minutes to talk about last night's game, we got to try to hit all the bullet points. So, yes, Zach Benson finally gets his first goal of the year. It was a power play goal. And if you look at the power play for the Sabres, despite the fact that they didn't have Alex Tuch last night, they haven't had Josh Norris for the last couple of games, it is still clicking. It's 8-for-25 in the last six games. So that is clicking at 32%. That is exactly what you want to see, especially since they are missing some pieces up front, like Jason Zucker is out week to week. So, you know, you got to be able to get your opportunities on the power play and perform. And the Sabres were able to get their game-winning goal on the power play late in the second period. So that was great to see Zach Benson go. Like I mentioned, no Alex Tuch. Why? Well, there is some illness going around the Sabres locker room right now. Josh Norris took part of warm-up against the Edmonton Oilers, but did not finish the warm-up because he was ill and sore. Alex Tuch took parts of warm-up. He skated for about a couple of minutes in warm-up and then left the ice. So he was also dealing with illness. And Lindy Ruff said, excuse me, after the game, that there is other guys that had to gut it and work through some not feeling 100%. So, okay, gutsy effort, but with some guys not being in the lineup, what does that mean? Well, that means that some other guys are going to get opportunities. And Trevor Kuntar, the local prospect. I can still say he's a prospect. Look, he was a prospect when he was with the Boston Bruins organization, came over to the Sabres organization, and more the Amherst organization on an AHL contract this year. But just a couple of days ago, signed an NHL two-way contract, traveled to Vancouver, and got to play in his first NHL game last night. And look, he didn't play a lot, you know, wasn't on the ice in big moments. Like Lindy Ruff went down to three lines for rhythm and to be able to keep it going. They don't play until Sunday. Doesn't matter. But it's still a first NHL game, right? You got dressed, you put your jersey, your uniform. It's a Sabres uniform for a local kid. Family got to travel up there. I know them really well. So they were in Vancouver, got to see Trevor play. It's exciting. It's great. It's good vibes. And everybody in the locker room were happy for him after. They supported him. It was fantastic. So obviously a win, a 3-2 win against a Vancouver Canucks team that is last in the Western Conference. So, and you had to hang on for dear life in the third period. Third period shots, by the way, were 11-2 for the Vancouver Canucks. Third period shot attempts were 33-5. The Sabres had 27 block shots in the game and a couple of big ones late in the game. So, yes, was it a tight game? And would you have hoped that the Sabres gone in Vancouver and won this one 6-1? Absolutely. But a 3-2 win is a 3-2 win. A win's a win. Now you've won back-to-back games on the road and can go into Seattle Sunday and make this road trip and come home 3-3 on the road trip when you started 0-3. I think that would be salvaging a pretty solid 500 on the road trip if you could do that in Seattle. But yeah, but if you're thinking, well, the Sabres aren't playing at home a lot this month. No, they're not. But we've been talking about this big date in January the 15th, when we are going to be commemorating the 20th anniversary of the 05-06 Buffalo Sabres. So that reunion night is presented by Ticketmaster during the game against the Montreal Canadiens. The list of players that are going to be there, Maxim Afinagenov, Tim Connelly, Dmitry Kalinin, Ryan Miller, Aleš Kotalík, Jochen Hasch, like there is so many guys. The list is on Sabres.com. But like I said, I promise you an interview with one of those guys that will be here and somebody that everybody is excited to have back in the town. Well, as promised, we have the Palmer. Population Palmerville going up on the show Sabres Live right now. Jason Palmerville, thanks a lot, man. It's good to see you. Look good. You look like you could still be playing.
I definitely still play, but I probably can't play at the level that you're talking about. But
you
no.
Play beer league? Because I remember one time I was at Jacob's practice at Northtown Center, and I turn around and there comes Palmer with his bag to play like beer league hockey. Is that what you're doing right now?
I still play, but not at night. It's only in the mornings. A couple times a week we have our leagues. A couple ex players are there, so we have a good time.
That's really good. Before we talk more about 05-06, it is the 20th anniversary celebration we're going to have in January. It's going to be awesome. But people want to know more about you, your family. Like you were a kid when you got here, but now, you know, you guys are back in Montreal. I saw that Jaden got to play, you know, in the Quebec, you know, Maritimes Junior Hockey League in the queue anyway. He got to play his game, but he's playing midget hockey. What's the family up to? What's Kim and the kids up to?
So, yeah, so we were basically in Buffalo until I think 2020 was COVID. COVID happened. We weren't too sure what we were going to do. We were kind of worried about our family. So we decided to move back to Montreal. I think it was June 1st of 2020. And we've been here since. My daughter is 14 now. So she's full-time gymnast. She goes to school in the morning. And they have sport and study here. So you go to school in the mornings. And then you have your sport in the afternoon. So she's very active in that. My wife is coaching. She went to the Olympics because one of her gymnasts performed at the Olympics for Team Canada, which was an awesome experience.
That's great.
And my son, as you said, he just turned 16. He's playing midget AAA, which is U18 here.
Yep.
Was drafted in the queue by the Huskies. And yeah, so he's able to get called up. He got called up once. He actually scored his first goal when he got called up. And now we're kind of waiting to see if they're going to call him up after Christmas, because there's a lot of movement at around Christmas time usually. So I guess we'll wait and see how it ends up. But
coaching, right? And you're coaching them as an assistant coach. You're the good guy on the bench that keeps telling everybody, like, let's keep going. You're not the angry head coach, right?
Yeah, it's the head coach's fault, not mine. So I'm all in though. I love it. It's fun. They're an age where like all the kids are. They have targets. They want to play in the queue, or they're either drafted or want to get drafted in the queue. So. They're all very motivated, and it's a fun group and fun age group to be able to coach.
Yeah, and over the last weekend, you went to Amos. I talked about it on the show last week because that's where I played midget AAA, and you got to see my 00 retired jersey in that building. Did you like shed a tear? Did you cry a little bit for how good I was when I played midget?
I did. And it's funny you text me right after our game too. What are the odds of that happening? But yeah, it was funny to see your jersey up there and the 00, but Danny B and Patty were there also. So no, nice to see a few ex teammates that are part of the history in MS. And from you being from Quebec, it's what is it, like an 8-9 hour drive?
It's about 8, I think.
It's a big commitment for a kid that was 15, 16 when you went there. So no, it was nice to see.
Yeah, that was great. That was a fun year. Lots of good memories. But okay, let's go back to 2005, 2006. You know, this is crazy. Like to think that you at the end of training camp were put on waivers and everybody could have said, hey, let's take a chance on this kid, Jason Pominville, second round pick. And nobody did it. And then you caught fire in Rochester. Rochester Hall of Fame, by the way, Jason Pominville. So what was that like? Because when I got sent back down to Rochester my third year, I had a pretty good fight with Lindy and Darcy in the little room because I was angry I was going back down. But what was that like for you when you were told you're going back down to Rochester and who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not easy. It's not like a fun situation, especially with the waivers. But I figured, you know what, at the time that you're put on waivers, unless you had played in the league a lot or had maybe a little bit more experience in it, as far as games played, I thought my odds of getting picked up were probably fairly slim, which they were. I ended up not getting picked up. But I think it was a good thing for me just to go down and play more, have a big role. And when I was able to step in, I was able to step in and play fairly decent minutes right away and play in a lot of situations that I was used to. And then it's also like seeing it as motivation. Okay.
Yeah.
No team picked you up. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and try to dig deep and find a way to get back there. And they were honest with me throughout the whole process. And I got a chance. And then I think I got sent back down and got called up and then was there ever since. So it's definitely not easy, but happy about how it all played out.
It's always disappointing, but I look at what you did. You had 19 goals in 18 games in Rochester that year. Like you were on fire. So you made the decision for them. If you'd started with 5 goals in those games, like they probably would have said, you know what? We'll call up somebody else. So was that the best hockey? Like I remember I say, sometimes I feel like my best hockey was my second year in Rochester. No, I played in the NHL. It was great. But was that your best hockey when you had 19 goals in 18 games in Rochester?
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, it's tough to beat when you're rolling at a – over a goal pace through 20 games. I mean, our team was doing well. Roizy was there. Roizy was rolling really well also. We kind of got called up around the same time. And we ended up sticking with Buffalo, both of us. So no, it was the timing of me being called up, and the way I was playing just, I guess, was smooth for me to transition and hop in and play some minutes with Buffalo. But I was definitely playing some of the best hockey I had played, for sure.
So yeah, you get called up. Okay. So you get called up a game against the Canadiens early November, you go back down, then you get called up late November, right around Thanksgiving. We go to Washington, you score a goal, your first NHL goal. Do you remember that goal? Do you remember that play?
Yeah, I remember the play. It was a nice, it was power play. I used to play the kind of defense on the power play on my one-timer side. And
yeah,
it was Roizy was a flanker, moved it low to Maxim Finneganov, and I kind of was able to slide back door. And Max made a great play, and I ended up one-timing it in. And it was against Olaf Kolzig too, so
yep.
I remember that. So my first game was against them, and then my first goal was against them. So I have a lot of Washington memories for sure.
Yeah, there was almost like 2 years between your first NHL game and this one because of the lockout. So you played in December of 2003, and then this is November of 2005. So that's a long 2 years, right, between like your first and then your second call-up. So what was more fun, your first goal or your first game? Because both of them were in Washington, kind of the same thing.
Oof. I mean, your first game is definitely a moment you'll remember forever. I mean, yeah, I think the first game is very, very special. But once you get a taste of that, it's almost like you always want more. And to get that first goal against Kolzig, establishing yourself throughout all that and kind of gaining confidence as you get to play was huge. And I've said it before, and I can say it again, like you said, how there's been like there was like a 2 year gap. Mm-hmm. I truly feel like the lockout was a huge benefit for a bunch of us, like myself, Thomas Vanek, Derek Roy, Paul Gostad,
Milzy,
like we all the coaching staff were in Rochester basically every game. They got to see what we were all about, and mm-hmm. when we came up we came up together and we found a way to play minutes and have good roles with the team, and they believed in us, they trusted us, and so yeah, that was huge for us.
Okay, so that year obviously you're playing with, you know, not always on the same line, but you're playing with guys like Danny Briere and Chris Drury, and we have Jay McKee and Mike Greer, and there's a lot of experience on the team. Guys that, you know, Drew had already won a Stanley Cup. So, like, what did you learn or what did you look for when it came to those type of players, being that you were just young and you wanted to get better? So did you have any conversation, or did you just watch them? How does the learning happen?
Well, just trying to soak it all in, you know, you're young, you're a kid, you think you know it all, but you really don't. And to have a veteran group and to have French guys like you, Danny B, JP, I mean, I was able to kind of like, I guess, have fun and with you guys and chirp and like go without maybe the other guys realizing that maybe sometimes you guys had to ground me or what. But at the same time, just having my eyes open and to seeing Drew and Jay McKee and Danny and how those guys act and how they take care of themselves on a daily basis was huge for me and helped me, I guess, extend my career even longer because of the fact that I learned at a young age how important everything around the game was so important.
Okay, so because you're talking about having fun and maybe able to do things you wouldn't do usually, who decided to put my bed in the hallway of the hotel in Florida? And can you tell the people what really happened that night? Because you were one that was hanging on to the side, like laughing, like we're having a lot of fun. But I ended up coming home to the hotel in Florida with my whole bed, night tables, lights, and everything in the hallway. Like, who was behind that decision to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't say, but you know who was, you know who was a part of it. But to see you turning, coming around the hall and start running for us when we're there with your mattress, it was hilarious. And yeah, that was a great memory. That and the pancakes in Montreal were probably two of my top two were me and Goss got caught with you and Danny's act with ordering for about 20 guys pancakes, but it's delivered to our room. Was pretty funny also.
Well, you got to learn. Number one, I should know not to miss curfew because I came in like an hour later from curfew, right, in Florida. And you guys all got in at like 1 a.m. and I came in at 2 thinking, whatever, right? So, and then when I walk in, that hour gave you guys plenty of time to take everything out of my room and put it in the hallway. And I caught you right at the very end, which was unbelievable. It was awesome. And then there was more shenanigans. I ran on the roof of the hotel and banged on every patio door. And yes, that was a lot of fun. But you got to learn, and you don't do that in hotels anymore, but you used to be able to hang that little piece of paper for breakfast on your door, and then they would come in the middle of the night, pick it up, and then next day, whatever, if you said 7:30 or 8 a.m., they would have the breakfast come up to your room. And you and Goss and Goose put the paper outside and just left it there, and Danny was like, and he grabs a pen, and he grabs the piece of paper, and he's like, pancake checks, French toast check, eggs check, bacon check, sausage check. He was like, put everything on there. So you guys had breakfast for 20.
We get the tray in the morning. At first it knocks on our door at the time that we get the tray, and the guy rolls in with this, and I'm like starting to get everything out, and I'm like, holy shit, Goss, you're really hungry this morning. It's like, and then he right away, he's like, Danny and Marty. He knew right away it was you guys. Yeah, but it was pretty funny.
That's good. What about like the playoffs? And I know like this is your first year in the NHL now. We get to the playoffs. We play Philly in the first round. Soupy hits Umberger. Game one overtime. Game three overtime, sorry. No, that was game one overtime, right? Because that's when Danny scored the backdoor play. Yeah. So game one overtime, that happens. I know we're going to talk about Ottawa in a little bit, but take me through like that series against the Flyers and the experience and the fans and everything.
Well, it was insane. I mean, my first playoff experience, it's double overtime. Yeah. Against the Philly who had added, like, the Peter Forsberg played for them. You know, they added pieces, and they had a good group. And Danny B, backdoor pass from, I believe, Jochen Hecht, a great way to start it. Game two was it the double hat trick? Were
I got to pull it up. See, my memory is so bad when it comes to this. I know you guys are always better. By the way, I was on the bench watching it, eating popcorn and doing all of that. So that's kind of like, no, game two. Yeah, that is the double hat trick. You had the hat trick. We won 8-2, right? So
JP had the hat trick also.
JP and you. You ended up scoring goal number 7 and 8 for your hat trick. That was like a late hat trick for you. Like it was a game was over by that point.
I think I played like 7 minutes and I had 3-1 that game or something like that.
Let me see. I've got the game sheet in front of me. Yeah. 7 minutes and 44 seconds. You had basically your three shots and they went in. You had 3 goals and an assist, 4 points that game in 7 minutes.
I remember Lindy after said like my point per minute was pretty high. So he was laughing about that.
Were you in the doghouse, or is it just because it was like a blowout? Because you were the lowest minutes played by a mile. Like, you know, Goose played 11 minutes. Van played 11, almost 12 minutes. And you were at 7.
Short shifts, I think, right? No, I think I was actually on a line to start the first round with Goss and Van.
Yeah.
So that was our line, and I'm not sure what happened, but all that. But yeah, I ended up playing a little bit less. But yeah, no, a good game too. Then we go to Philly, and we're feeling good about our game, and we end up losing two games and have to come back home to win a big game. But what a crazy series. And then we won big, I think, in Philly to close it out. But
yeah, 7-1. And then we couldn't, like, and then the plane was shaking on the way back, remember? Like,
couldn't close the door or something?
They couldn't close the door. They couldn't seal the door. So the plane was shaking the whole way back. We've talked about that. Oh, my gosh, that was awful. And then, obviously, Ottawa, you scored a goal. I say I should have gotten an assist on your goal because when you took the puck and you skated in front of the bench, the whole bench was yelling, he's a forward. But I think I was the loudest to yell, he's a forward, take him. And maybe I said it in French so you understood that it was Daniel Alfredson so you could take him. So I want that assist. I feel like I'm the reason why you scored the goal.
You probably should get one, yeah. I kind of remember slowly how it all happened. I mean, D-zone faceoff. Yep. Me and Roizy, our two rookies, were on the bench, and our best penalty killer, who's Jay McKee, is in the penalty box. And yep. Lindy taps me and Roizy to go out in overtime, two rookies, and in our to start in our D zone, and we end up finding a way to get the puck. And you're right, as I am skating up, I had my head up, so I realized also that. But I also heard the whole bench saying forward, forward, which usually a lot of teams will do if there's a forward playing there skating backwards. And yeah. I didn't do it much, but I realized I might as well give it a shot. I'm early in my shift. I'm fresh. And I just found a way to go around a very good player and was able to bank it in. But yeah, definitely. And then the hilarious part is I blacked out after that, but Jay McKee, I think, is the first guy coming out of the box. So I was fairly excited after I scored, but him coming out of the box is pretty crazy reaction also. No, great.
He's almost getting a plus one because they're like, he was on the ice. No, he was sitting in the box. Yeah, that was unbelievable. What a series. Okay, listen, we just got a couple of minutes left here. So I want to play a fun little game with you. Basically, give me, like, you can give me more than one word, but I'll say a teammate of yours from that 05-06 season, and you give me one word, something that would be fun, cool. Maybe a story associated with it. We'll start with Maxim Afinaganov. One word on Max.
Crazy. Crazy Max.
Crazy Max. Well, you know him. I mean, funny enough, you talk about Roizy and stuff. Me and Max got called up together out of Rochester. We stayed at the hotel together and then the residence in together and whatnot. So he was a little bit more quiet, but I think that he drove my car one time around the rink and I think he was going 100 miles an hour. And yeah, you're right. Crazy Max is probably... the best one. How about Tim Connelly?
Tim Connelly, oof. You mean as a player, or as a guy, or either
anything you want. First thing that come to mind.
Skilled. I mean, his hands were insane. His hands, his talent level were out of this world. And yeah, he's that elite skill.
Elite skills. Pretty good poker player too, right? Didn't he play poker on the plane?
I think he did. I wasn't part of the. I was.
You were in the book reading club. That's what you were doing back then.
I was one of the gifts with Millsy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, how about that, Ryan Miller?
Millsy, passionate, very detailed in everything he did. Yeah, he was very detailed with his gear. Everything he did had a purpose.
That's definitely Millsy. Like, if he decided to bring his camera around, then he was passionate about photography. And then the music, he's passionate about music. He's passionate about arts. He's passionate about everything. And he's passionate about his foundation. And, you know, we'll have fun. Not only are we doing the reunion, but it's a catwalk for charity the next night. So that will be fun as well. How about Derek Roy?
hilarious. There, Roy's.
Hilarious is good. I was going to say good bartender, especially celebrity bartending on Chippewa was something he was good at.
Oh, my. That guy's a beauty. Beauty would be a good one also. Yeah.
That's good. How about Thomas Vanek?
Vanek is in that hilarious. He's got the dry humor. He's always having fun. Likes his Stellas. Very good, dude. I played with him in Mini also, so it was nice to be able to play with him twice.
Okay, how about Henrik Tallinder?
Hank, it's been a while. I haven't seen Hank. Was I wouldn't say shy, but he was a little more quiet. But
was he the best dressed or the worst dressed? Because it could either go one way or the other.
He was ahead of the curve. Like he's very fashionable guy. Great teammate. Took care of himself and pretty boy. Yeah, pretty boy.
Pretty boy. I like that. Pretty boy for Hank. That's good. Okay, and the last one, this or that. If we were playing a game, you and me right now, like retired against your boy Jaden and my boy Jacob, like one-on-one, like hockey, they both go against each other. You go against Jaden, and I'm in net, and Jacob's in the other side. Who would win, the old guys or the young guys?
Probably the young guys.
Come on.
The talent level of these kids now is insane. If we would skate a few times or a few more and try maybe work out a bit, we'd probably have the edge. But right now, I would give it to them.
Dude, I wasn't working out when I played. I'm not starting to work out now. I think you could take on your kid. You could go one-on-one against him, and we would win. I think we should maybe get that done next summer.
I think I'd be fine. I was more worried about you.
Oh, yeah, figure it out, yeah. That's okay. Last time I played, I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. So, yeah, that's what happened last year. Palmer, thank you. I appreciate it. It was awesome to talk to you. And obviously, we're looking forward to a fantastic celebration for the 20th anniversary of the 05-06 season, which you were a massive, massive part of. So thanks, and have a good weekend, man. Like, enjoy the hockey. I know you're busy.
Thank you, Marty. Anytime, and thanks for having me, and looking forward to being back to Buffalo. It's been far too long.
Far too long. He is absolutely right, and what a guy is Jason Pominville. And listen, if you can't make it to the game on the 15th, maybe you just want to join on the 16th. The next day, it's Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity, presented by New Era Cap Foundation. Join us at Babeville on Friday the 16th for a fun, fashion-forward event featuring great lineup of many alumni that will stay for that. They'll come for the Thursday game, stay for the Friday Catwalk for Charity, a live set from Strictly Hip, open bar, and more. Visit sabres.com/catwalk to purchase your tickets today. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is going to join us. Lots to talk about Sabres and around the league here on Sabres Live.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, another one of our favorites here on this Friday edition of Sabres Live is Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. And Shayna, we just had Jason Pominville on. He is such a delight. He's so much fun. I wish you would have covered him when he played, because you would have loved writing about him and all the details in his game. So did you have, like, growing up, did you have like a favorite player? Is there somebody that you were like, man, this is somebody that I'm going to follow and cheer for a long time?
Well, growing up, like when I was really young, Brian Leetch was my favorite player. Okay. And when he was traded, I was like, well, I like the Leafs now. And the next year, I'm like, well, I like the Bruins now. So that that was definitely like the early one. And then after that, it was Henrik Lundqvist growing up. Like, oh. And then I got to write about the end of his career, which was wild to me. I think Pominville, it was like the last year or two of his career I was writing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't the, you know, the start and his impact in Buffalo. Then he went to Minnesota, come back. But it's funny that you followed Brian Leetch around from Rangers to the Leafs to the Bruins. And then obviously you had to follow Hank and be a big fan of him. Anybody that followed the Rangers for all these years were fans of Henrik Lundqvist. But okay, well, since we're talking Sabres, they had a big win last night in Vancouver. Let me ask you about Tage Thompson, because Tage went to the wing when Josh Norris came back, and then he cooled off a little bit. Then he's back in the middle, but we saw Greenway on his line. That didn't really work well, but Tage still is scoring somehow. Now it's Peyton Krebs. He lost Alex Tuch to illness. Like, what are you seeing in Tage that keeps his goal scoring going? Now he scored in three straight games.
Yeah, I would say the big difference from this year to even like the last, let's go 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Is the shot volume and the shot quality. And it's up in all situations, so that's a good thing. Like, he's shooting the puck more on the power play. That's a big thing. But at 5-on-5, too, from the last two seasons, his shot attempt rate is up. He's at 20.4 attempts per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, which is much better than the last 2 years. It's not quite what he was at 22, 23. Okay. But like, and it's the same goes from, you know, an expected goal perspective, because that's factoring in both the volume and the quality of his shot. So that's a big reason why. And I think the most promising element of it is it's not like his shooting percentage is sky high. Like last year, he was converting on almost 20% of his shots at 5-on-5. It's closer to 13% this year. So you can see where there's some like really solid foundation here. And it's just something they need to keep maximizing.
Do you think he will be on Team USA when they make the final decision on who goes to the Olympics this year?
No, I think like Jason Robertson's going to be one of those Four Nation snubs that gets on, and rightfully so, as he should. Like, that's a 40-goal scorer, and USA needs goals. But I can see Tage Thompson and Cole Caulfield still being left off for the JT Millers of the world, and I don't agree with it. Like, I think someone like Vincent Trocheck or Brock Nelson as a 4C is much more understandable. I think Brock Nelson's playing really well, that I could see that argument, but that's who I would be having on the team versus A. Miller, I don't think you need all three. I think you have room to have a Caulfield and a Tage Thompson still in there, especially now that Logan Cooley's hurt, because he was the one for me. I was like, that should be, you know, that surprise pick.
Yeah, that's a big loss for Utah and for Team USA. 8 weeks at minimum, Logan Cooley will be sidelined. It almost feels like Team USA has a lot of depth that maybe they never had. And now, like, players that would have made the team for sure are on the bubble. I hope Tage Thompson is on that team. Maybe he scores in the next five games. And then all of a sudden, we're talking about an eight-game goal streak. So that would be awesome. Okay, you are an expert, and I love your take, especially when something big happens in the NHL. So I wake up this morning to some chatter about potentially Tristan Jarry being moved to the Edmonton Oilers. And sure enough, within a half an hour, it was announced that the Oilers have acquired Tristan Jarry and Sam Poulin. He was in the AHL right now. And in return, they give up Stuart Skinner, Brent Kulak, and a 2029 second-round pick. No money is being retained anywhere, but Jarry's money coming in and Skinner and Kulak money coming out basically equals the deal. I'll tell you what I think about the deal, but I want to hear you first. Is this the finally figured out the crease in Edmonton for Connor McDavid?
Yes, they have finally figured out. This is a Stan Bowman masterclass because they have figured out that the way to keep us all interested is to keep the net as chaotic as possible. Mike Smith, not enough. Stuart Skinner, nope. Now let's bring in Tristan Jarry, who is such a similar player to Skinner in his volatility. Yeah. That is what we need because we can't make life easy for Connor McDavid. The challenge truly is putting him on the ice every night and saying, outscore our problems.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it. No notes. That is your job. Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, go. And they're keeping that up. So good for them. Good for the consistency. But no. Oh, my God. This trade is something else because, one, you have to move out cap to make Jarry's cap work. When the Penguins have three open retention slots, so you could have paid up in a different way to make that happen. But instead, they have to move out salary. Why? Because they signed Trent Frederick for 8 years at $3.5 million this summer for a fourth line role. If they didn't sign him, you don't have to get rid of Kulak. And I don't think moving Kulak is the end of the world and they bring in Stasny, who's cheaper. That's fine, right? For the third pair, it's like a non-entity to me. It's just the fact that the Penguins have to, the Oilers have to move out so much. And the Penguins are going to benefit from that to get a goaltender who now you are tying the 2 years of Connor McDavid's extension to. That's ridiculous. That's not the goal you do that for when he doesn't have a lot of postseason experience. And when he has been healthy enough to be in the playoffs, he hasn't been very good. So it's far too risky for me.
So Tristan Jarry, a year ago, well, it was January of 2025, was put on waivers and sent down to the AHL. Look, if the Oilers felt like, hey, we really like Tristan Jarry, might as well take a swing at him when he was on waivers, right? Because, I mean, last year is when Stuart Skinner was not playing well at all in the regular season. Now, they still got to the Stanley Cup final, and Calvin Pickard was a big reason for that. But this year, Skinner's actually a top 25 in goal save above expectation. Like, Jarry's having a good year. Don't get me wrong. His numbers are decent, much better than last year. But I have no idea why they feel like Jarry is the answer. So much so that Stan Bowman had talked about, we don't want to make a lateral move. Like, there could not have been a more lateral move than having Tristan Jarry come in for Stuart Skinner. If you want to bring Jarry in and in the place of Calvin Pickard and say, we're going to have a competition, I would have been fine with it. It's not great, but at least it's better. But you bring Jarry to replace Skinner. That went all wrong for me. Now, on the flip side, do you think the Pittsburgh Penguins could potentially flip Skinner again because they have Shelovs and Mershov who have played pretty decent for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's a $2.6 million cap hit, and Pittsburgh can retain slots. And he's a UFA at the end of the year. So if you're going to be willing to do that with Kulak and with Skinner, if they say fall out of the playoff picture and decide to make those moves, because if they don't move either one, it's still okay. It's not like a backbreaker because at the end of the day, they still got rid of that Jarry contract, and that's the win for them. Mm-hmm. But they could move either player, retain salary, and, you know, benefit and add to the return for it, and then be back at zero this summer. Like, it can totally work out for Pittsburgh doing it, because the stakes aren't as high, right? Like Stuart Skinner, like you mentioned, he's not having a terrible, terrible season on the surface. When you go through the numbers in the games, you know, some of it's the Oilers defense leaves him completely exposed. But the reason his numbers, I think he was at like 7.9 goals saved above expected on Evolving Hockey. And it's because he has extremely good nights where he's saving three plus goals a night. But he also has extremely bad nights. Mm-hmm. If you're Pittsburgh, you can afford that because, you know, you have other options like Shilovs. And the year doesn't, there's not as much riding on the season as there is for Edmonton. So it's so interesting. And I love, you know, you see some of the commentary of, well, the Oilers had to do something. What were their options? Well, it's not like this problem developed overnight, right? You look at the number of goalies who have moved in the last couple seasons, Blackwood, Wedgwood, Akira Schmid, which is a little riskier because he doesn't have the same track record, but he's a cheap option. And Shilovs, like there are names that have been out there that have moved. They're names that probably could have moved with the right deal too. So you go for the goalie that nobody wanted a year ago. Yes, his value was low, but good luck.
Good luck. A little this or that. What was the better story last night? Jacob Fowler beating the Pittsburgh Penguins in his first NHL game, just getting called up, or Steven Stamkos getting four goals, like unexpectedly. Now he has eight goals in his last eight games. What was the better story, this or that?
I think the Fowler story is a good one, but I'm going to go Steven Stamkos because a lot has been made about, you know, who the Predators could potentially trade this year. And does Stamkos have anything left in the tank? And granted, this was against the Blues, who their goaltending has been bad all year. Their all-around game has disappointed a ton. Yeah. But I think he's showing more consistently this season, especially since they kept him on the wing and gave him Ryan O'Reilly, a defensively-minded center, to balance out his game, just like Tampa Bay did that last year with Cirelli. Mm-hmm. You're seeing what he can still do if you play him the right way. And at the end of the day, his biggest value is his goal-scoring ability. That didn't go away, right? Like, you look at the elite, elite, elite players. Yes, they're going to decline as they age, but their average is still above average relative to the rest. So he still has that. If you can put him in a position where he can play to his strengths and score goals, he's going to do it.
And the San Jose Sharks also are a great story. They find themselves in the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. So because we talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins, this or that, who has the better chance to stay in a playoff spot by the end of the season? Pittsburgh in the East, the second wild card, or San Jose in the West?
I'm going to go, that's really tough because I do feel like the Western Conference is a lot weaker. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say it's the Sidney Crosby effect in getting Raquel back, and I think the goaltending has been good, and, you know, it's a little bit of everything contributing there. The Sharks, I kind of felt like we're hitting a wall. I feel like the Sharks and Blackhawks were both kind of hitting a wall the last couple weeks, and then they both come out with big wins. I mean, that comeback over the Leafs last night, I'm like, that's the Sharks team that I need to see more often. I felt like it was starting to slip away. So I'm going to very slightly go Pittsburgh.
And Chicago had a 3-0 win against the Rangers after getting absolutely shellacked in the previous two games. So that was good for the Blackhawks as well. Shayna, sorry Palmer took all the time that we were going to have. Blame him when you see him at some point. I don't know. But always appreciate having you on the Friday on the show. Enjoy the weekend.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid.
If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Enjoy the hockey, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We will be right back here on Sabres Live on this beautiful, cold Friday in Buffalo.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres are going to close out this six-game road trip Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 will be the pregame, and Duffer and I will actually be in Seattle. So I'm traveling tomorrow to go to Seattle, and I need your help. I've never been to Seattle. I don't know anything about the city other than they toss fish around in the market. So why don't you hit me up on social media, on X, and let me know what should I be doing. I'll be there tomorrow afternoon. So I've got Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and even Sunday morning. Where could I go and watch the Bills game Sunday morning? So I want to know. Hit me up on X. Tell me all about it. But you know what? This could be a way for the Sabres, a big win Sunday, and they come home 3-3 on the road trip after going 0-3. That would be a positive. So we'll see. And why don't you tune in after the Bills game, 7:30 on MSG Sunday for the pregame. Have a good weekend, everybody.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. and I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.